Our second scripture reading today comes to us, and it's very unique. It's something that you have not heard before preached by me, and likely you've never heard it preached in church either. Last week on Easter Sunday, we heard what I will call the original ending of the Gospel of Mark's story, how the women flee from the tomb in terror, and they say nothing to anyone because they were afraid. And today's scripture picks up where that story left off. And in a lot of your Bibles, if you're reading it at home, it'll have a little notation that says, this was added later. So the original ending of Mark's gospel, which is what we read last week, and then today, we're going to read the shorter ending of Mark and the longer ending of Mark. So this is like a Bible study sermon. Are you as excited about that as me? So excited. So listen for the reading today from Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. Listen. And all that had been commanded them, they told briefly to those around Peter. And afterwards, Jesus himself sent out through them from east to west the sacred and imperishable proclamation of eternal salvation. Now, after he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went out and told those who had been with him while they were mourning and weeping. But when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they would not believe it. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them as they were walking into the country, and they went back and told the rest. But they did not believe them. Later, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were sitting at the table, and he upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. And he said to them, "Go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. The one who believes and is baptized will be saved, but the one who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. By using my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes in their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is so great to be with you today and to look out and see you all here 1 week after the glorious morning of Easter just last Sunday. It was really a celebration day for churches all around the world as we join in together the proclamation, Christ is risen. You still got it. And before we continue to talk about the meaning of the resurrection and this story from Mark's gospel today, I have a question for you. Have you ever broken a bone? Have you ever broken a bone in your body? Turn to somebody next to you and don't freak them out, don't gross them out, but tell them, what bone did you break? Tell them real quick, did you break a bone? What did you break? Have you ever broken a bone? Oh, yeah. I broke a pinky. That's it. You break anything? No? Did you break something? Really? All right. This is a pertinent question to the sermon, so pay attention. Show of hands, how many of you have broken a bone before? Anybody not broken a bone? Whoa. That's surprising. Okay. So some of you will know what this is like. You know, something happens. Maybe it's a car accident or something out on a playing field like in sports. And you basically say, ouch, this hurts. And so you go to a doctor or a hospital and they bring you into the x-ray room. And there's an x-ray technician who takes pictures of some part of your body. And then they bring you in to see the doctor. And the doctor is the one, usually, who interprets the x-ray, right? Tells you what's going on. Sometimes, or maybe it's the technician themselves, sometimes they'll point to it and say, see right here is where you broke your leg. Other times they'll say, see right here is where you have a hairline fracture in your pinky, and you can't see it, right? That's me. I had a hairline fracture in my pinky, and I couldn't see it. Okay. On our own, we probably couldn't read an x-ray correctly. That's why we have medical professionals who help us understand and interpret what we're seeing. Are you going with me on my metaphor so far? Thank you. In today's scripture lesson, I want to give you an x-ray view into the Bible passage we've just read. How did it get here, and what does it mean for us? If you're just reading this part of Mark chapter 16 at home, you might skip over it and just think, oh yeah, their story goes on. But when you get a closer look at this text, you'll see there's some interesting and strange parts to it. Last Sunday, we were talking about the unfinished business at the end of Mark's gospel. Mark 16 says, they fled from the tomb and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. And I shared with you last week the way that sometimes an unfinished story, unfinished project, unfinished business can be good because it asks us to get involved. It invites us to play a part. It calls us to come and do something within that story. It's a chance for us to finish telling the good news of Jesus in our own lives and in our own time. But it turns out that not everyone likes this idea. And I don't mean that someone came through the handshake line last week and gave me some bad feedback. No. We have email for that. But throughout history, our fellow Christians, those who went before us in the faith, they sometimes struggled with the way the Gospel of Mark ended, just like us. Some of them said, I don't really like that. Or something else came along, so I'll tell you about it. The Gospel of Mark is the earliest of the four Gospels of the New Testament to be written down. It's the one that was probably written around the year 65 or 70. But this end part of Mark's Gospel, it was probably added in the second century, the early second century. So that's after the other Gospels were all written down. And so this last portion of Mark's Gospel that we read today, Mark 16, the end of Mark 16, it shows the development of the belief of the early Christian community. You can x-ray shot and see the way that the early Christian community was starting to think about, talk about, believe in Jesus. And we want to know why. Why was this part added in? What does it teach us about God's word? And how does it help us or encourage us in our faith? And I'll start, and I want to make a point here. I'll start with the end in mind. The point of an x-ray sermon like this is that Christian preaching is always about proclamation of the good news of the mighty acts of God. It's always about pointing people towards Jesus Christ. It's also about helping us deepen our faith. And so we use any means necessary, even an x-ray sermon like this, but the point is to help build us up in our faith, not break us down. So I'm highlighting this part of the Gospel of Mark so that your faith might be made stronger because you've seen it and understood it. Let me show you what I mean. It's obvious that the longer ending of Mark that we just read has components or parts of the other three Gospels. The other three Gospels, which were written after Mark's Gospel. So definitely, this is a later portion that was added in. When it was originally written down, those others hadn't been written down yet, but someone has gone around and read them. They've learned that information. Or maybe they hung around the Christian community. You know, they went to church, and people were saying, here's what we believe. And they say, well, I want to know about that. I want to learn about that. And so they wanted to include more of what their understanding was of the gospel. All right, let's get into the lines. I'll show you on the screen here as we go. In Mark chapter 16, verse 9, it says that Jesus appeared first to Mary Magdalene. But just last week, in Mark chapter 16, verse 1, it says it was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome. It was a group of women, right? So what's changed here? The Gospel of John, the first resurrection appearance on Easter, is just to Mary Magdalene. That's John chapter 20, verse 1. So the ending of Mark takes in the information from John, says, oh, maybe it was just Mary. And they bring that into the story right here. Then in Mark 16, verse 10, it says that Mary goes to the other disciples and tells them what she has seen. But Mark's gospel, we just read last week, they didn't go out and tell anyone anything. So in John's gospel, it says that she went and told them. So you see how John's gospel is influencing this extra material in Mark. Or it goes on, whoever wrote the longer ending of Mark's gospel has definitely read the gospel of John. In Mark 16, verse 12, it says that Jesus appeared to them in another form as they were walking the countryside. Jesus appeared to two of them in another form walking the countryside. That reminds us of a story, the road to Emmaus, right? And that's from Luke chapter 24. So now we're seeing the gospel of Luke influencing the end of Mark as well. Let's keep going. Mark 16, verse 14, it says that Jesus appeared to the disciples while they were sitting at a table and talks about their lack of faith, which is an exact parallel to John 20, where Jesus appears to the disciples and doubting, what's his name? Thomas. You see that the story of John's gospel again comes into Mark's ending. And just one more. Mark 16, verse 19 says, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven. We call this the ascension, where Jesus dies, he rises, he appears to everyone, and then he goes to heaven. He ascends. It's the same story as in Luke chapter 24 and Acts chapter 1. So there's three different versions of the ascension in the Bible. But Luke and Acts were written after Mark, and he's taken in that material and added it here. So what we're seeing from this text in the Bible is the way that the early Christians heard the story of Jesus, how they read the gospel accounts together, and how they came to believe that Jesus really had been raised, and that he really had appeared to all these people. And so they went back into that early document of Mark's gospel and added in the rest. Does that make sense? But why would they do that? Why would they add something to that finished gospel that was already given? Maybe this ending comes after new information comes to light. New evidence has been presented. Or the testimony of people who had seen it finally gets to them. They want to make sure they get it right, even if it seems a little bit strange. There was a murder mystery novel once by Agatha Christie, and her detective, you know his name is Hercule Poirot? You know that guy? Who can say it right? French people in here? Okay, this guy. And he comes upon a victim of a crime in one of the novels. And he sees a body laying there, and this is what he says. He pronounces, this man was poisoned. And he looks closer and says, oh wait, is that blood? That is blood. This man was poisoned in the chest with a knife. So new information comes to light, and he has to adjust what he's thinking. Maybe we're watching the act of editing and updating happening in the Bible in real time in this story. It's like there were new facts, new information, and they had to go back and kind of amend and update their earlier statement. One of the things that happens to us when we read the scriptures and when we get around Christian community is that our understanding of God grows. It doesn't shrink. It grows. Over time, as we experience more and more, as we go through life, even with times of struggle or hardship, it actually helps strengthen and grow our faith. We become hardier because of it. It's kind of a paradox, but it's true. God gives us great freedom to edit and update our lives, to edit and update our faith as we go. None of us here today is the same as we were 10 or 20 years ago. Thank God. Our faith isn't meant to be stuck or stagnant either. So that's why there's that old saying about discipleship, which is we have faith seeking understanding. We have faith, we believe, but we seek understanding. And as we gain more understanding, as we walk further along this road with Jesus, we learn more, we adjust, we adapt, we grow. Some of you will know that yesterday we had a memorial service for a woman in our community who was killed by her husband. And some of you have followed this story in the news. Her name was Ying Ying Yu. Her American name was Dawn. And she was my neighbor. And a number of our church family, some who are here today, were also her neighbors and her friends. People have been very impacted by this loss. And at the funeral yesterday, we did what people of faith always do. We interpret our lives and our faith in light of what is happening around us and what we experience. So our faith actually changes and grows as we go through more experiences in this life. And as part of the service yesterday, we heard the words where Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" And every generation, every person has to hear those words, not in spite of their life experiences, but because of their life experiences. And you and I, we have to find out or figure out how to accept and receive this good gift from God. The gift of eternal life, the gift of hope, the gift of faith, even when there are hard or painful things going on. The ending of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, which we're talking about today, it was added by people who had a growing experience of God. They had a sense that Jesus really was alive among them. They read the Gospels, the other Gospels. They heard the stories. They saw the evidence. They took into account the testimonies. And they wanted to make sure that their faith was expanding as their view of life and experiences in life also grew. We're just the same. Now, don't worry. We're not going to add a bunch of chapters to the Bible here at our church. We don't do that. But our stories are still being written, and our faith is meant to expand as we grow, even through hard times. So that's why we can read the words of Jesus about eternal life at a funeral. And that's why we can take a look, like with an X-ray, at the scripture and see how it developed, and that's okay. And that's why we can deeply trust God, the one who is underneath it all and with us through it all. So just as we close today and before we move to our communion meal together, this year for growing in grace as a church, every month we have one scripture verse that we use as a memory verse, one scripture verse per month. And it's meant to be a year for grace, so it's not a heavy burden, it's not a test, but it's an opportunity to learn and remember one little piece of scripture and take it with you. So I want to put it up here, and as you read it today, and we're going to read it together, let it stand as a statement of faith about your trust in Jesus, even as you continue on the journey with him. So let's read it out loud together. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" May you grow in your belief, in your trust, in your faith in Jesus, more and more in your life. Amen.